Flyers Daily with Jason Martinez.
Episode of Flyers Daily. Before everybody gets to run off and go to the cottages and disappear with Danny Briere, Flyers Daily presented by Ticketmaster. Make more memories live. Boy, it's been a crazy couple of weeks of the offseason. It's going to really chill out after this, but how's it been?
It's been exciting. Lots going on. Obviously, you know, the big signing with Matvei Mishkov, what we had been waiting for a while now. That definitely was, the peak, I guess, of the week for us. The draft was awesome. And then now this week, the development week, seeing some of the players we drafted, having a chance to spend a little bit more time with them. I thought the development week kind of went really flawless. Riley Armstrong and his group did a fantastic job this whole week. So it's been good. But like you said, there's a game tonight, and then that's kind of the last push before a little I wouldn't say complete stop, but it's going to get a little bit more relaxed the next 2 or 3 weeks.
And that's an important time for not only you as a GM, but players. They're going to start ramping up their skating and conditioning. Yep. But it isn't, because it is a long year.
It's a long year. And when you don't make the playoffs, it's also a long off season.
Yeah. Too long.
Too long. Our players are probably already tired and sick of working out every day. But, you know, you got to keep that taste in your mouth and come back stronger the next year and want to prove to everybody that you've improved and that, you know, help the team get into the playoffs. So your off season's not as long.
So Matvei is signed, sealed, when pending.
Not delivered yet. Not delivered yet.
So Domino's 30 minutes or less.
I think he has a few things to, back home, close up shop. You know, there's all the immigration side of things as well that he's going through at the moment. Look, it's going to be a culture shock for him coming over. Yeah. Doesn't speak the language. The culture is very different. So I'm glad supposedly he's going to arrive earlier, maybe up to a month before training camp. So that'll be good for him to adapt.
Yeah.
Exactly. Realistically, there's going to be some ups and downs next year, and we're aware and we're ready for that.
Danny, you're expecting him in 3 years post-draft.
Yeah.
He's coming after 1 year. Just how excited are you to get your hands on? You'll have day-to-day, you know, conversation, correspondence, development, all of those things with him way ahead of schedule.
I think the best part for me is for him to have the chance to learn and play under Torts.
Yeah.
You know, Torts is tough.
We
all know that.
Years for him in development.
They're critical years. You know, for the long term. And the way we look at him, we know he's a special talent. But the way we look at him is it's not really about this year or next year. Those are years that he wasn't even supposed to be with us. So having a chance to put our hands on him early, having Torts work with him and develop him, I think might be a game changer for his career.
Foundationally speaking.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, when he combines whatever, you know, Torts has been preaching and the talent level that he has, when that comes together, we could have a special player. But we'll have to be patient. It's not going to happen overnight. But we're definitely excited that he's coming this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big piece of it. You know, we don't know him real well because of the language. You know, post-draft, we heard some things through an interpreter, Ken Hudakoff. Yeah. But what can you tell us about him? What's his personality like when the skates aren't on?
Yeah.
I know he's a fierce competitor, but tell us something about him.
And to be honest, it's not like I have spent a lot of time with him myself. But the few times we got to interact, he's a kid with a big personality. He's got a big contagious smile. You can tell that he's excited. He from the beginning, he wanted to be a Flyer. You know, we know he told us his dad had talked to him about the Flyers history. When we interviewed him, he talked to us about Billy Barber and Bobby Clark. And so, you know, that was pretty cool. I can't wait for him to be able to speak the language a little better so he can interact with our fans. And I think he's a player that our fans are going to fall in love with.
He seems like a player, too, that will relish the spotlight. And it's going to be on him because he's got this just incredible skill. Yeah. He's got some showmanship to him, too.
He does.
He seems like he's going to enjoy that.
He does. And you know, he's been in spotlight for a long, long time. Yeah. I don't know how old he was, but I've been hearing about this name probably close to 5 years. He was dominant. They were already talking about him and Bedard as the future of the NHL, freaks. You know? So I think that doesn't afraid or scare him, sorry, being in the spotlight. I think he welcomes it. He's been used to it. He's has grown with it. So, you know, it's not like he's going to be able to hide. We're a hockey market as well and a big one in the NHL. So and we're all excited to see what the future brings with him.
You know, looking at Matthew, looking at the draft this year, I mean, you're taking players all over the globe. How do you evaluate players when sometimes it's not an apples to apples comparison with where they're playing? Yeah. You have a player playing in the Swedish league, yeah, playing with men. You have other players playing in college or whatever it might be. But how do you evaluate them fairly without the apples to apples?
I know that that's the toughest part. And that's why amateur scouting is so tough. Your best scouts are amateur scouts. They not only just have to scout and tell you what, you know, they see or how the player has played. We also ask them to project 3, 5, 7 years down the road how these players are going to turn out to be, you know, as 17-year-olds. Yeah. So it's a lot. You know, the perfect example for that is our first pick this year, Jet Luchenko. He's still 17. He was one of the youngest player in the draft. He's, you know, 8-10 months younger than most of the other players that were drafted. You know, and when it came down to it, that was a big part of it, was evaluating from different guys that had played in the Western Hockey League or had played in USHL, and, you know, a player that had played in the Finnish Elite League already against men. And you're trying to project down the road, how are they going to be? And sometimes other players might be ahead if they've played in you know, with men in a higher level. So you're trying to put all of that together ahead now.
Yeah.
But now in 5 years from now, who's going to be ahead? And that's what you try to stay consistent with. But it's tough. And that's why, you know, we have 13, 14 guys that all they do during the year is they travel all over North America and all over Europe to find and report on those players. So, you know, we've had over 100 reports on every single one of the players that were drafted in the top two rounds this year. So it's a lot to go through. It doesn't mean that, you know, we're right and we know it all, but I rely on our guys that have had a really pretty good track record so far when you look back at the last few years.
Let's face it, the NHL draft is not 2 + 2 = 4.
No.
It's not an exact science.
Not at all. Not at all.
With Luchenko, you know, a couple of things about him. First of all, how much was the interview process with him and the performance at the combine, which was pretty remarkable, for him, a part of your evaluation? And then the other thing with him, he seems like a really mature 17-year-old. I didn't feel like I was sitting across from my son, you know, who is the same age.
To be honest, that was just a small part of it. Most of it was the work done on the ice. I think the combine reinforced that. The interview reinforced what we were seeing when we talked to his coaches in Guelph and at U18 for Team Canada. They were all raving about his character. So that reinforced what we were seeing on the ice. Look, you know, he wasn't on the radar to be a first round pick early in the season, but he just kept getting better and better and better. And I got the chance to see him a few times early in the season, later in the season, he just kept getting better. He was, you know, pretty impressive how he was trending. So, you know, it makes us believe that he's going to be a special player, a great character. And we're really excited about him, what he's going to bring, and a right shot center. That's a position of premium on top of it. So it's exciting.
He's a powerful skater too.
He hovers over the ice. It's like he's just hovering. It's very smooth. Good on face off, good defensively, more of a
willing
playmaker.
Defensively too.
Yeah, exactly. Willing to block shots. And offensively, he's more of a playmaker. That's the one area that we want to see him maybe get a little bit more aggressive at time, maybe a little bit more selfish as far as scoring goals. But it shows you that the type of personality he wants to find his teammates. He wants to set up his teammates for goals. So pretty good personality trait to have.
You obviously moved back in the draft and you didn't take the opportunity to draft Weim in that 12th spot, and you move back to 13th and you take Jet. It seemed like there was a premium, not only for you guys individually, but around the league to draft size into the league. And this is a copycat league. We see it all the teams that are successful. They're doing this. Okay. Everybody's going to try and do this, whatever this is. And that seems to be size right now. Is that a trend around the league?
It seems to be.
As a smaller player.
When you look at the teams, you look at the teams winning the Stanley Cups the last few years, they have big teams, especially on defense.
Big and heavy.
You saw that, you know, in the first round, the big defenseman kind of took over. And I mean, we feel fortunate there with Bunk, with Hunter McDonald, Cummin. Sutherland is a big kid. We drafted Spencer Gill, who's maybe not big yet, but he's tall at 6'4" already. You know, he's gonna get stronger, and he's gonna get big as well. So there's definitely something to be said about that. But for us to the opportunity to get a right shot centerman in that range was pretty important. So to be able to get him was a big get for us.
Columbus opted to defer their second round pick to next year, and what is widely considered a better draft class. You basically have six picks in the first two rounds next year. What kind of flexibility? I know Howie Roseman used this word one year. Variability does that give you as a manager? Not only the remainder of this offseason into next season, and obviously up to the draft.
Yeah, and we're going to look at everything. Yeah. It's possible we use the picks to select players, but it's also possible that we use or package some picks to move up. It's possible we use them to acquire talent. So there's so many possibilities.
It's a lot of bullets in your gun.
It is, and I saw firsthand at the draft this year how valuable the early second round picks were, because after the first round everybody retreats, go back to their room, they meet again with their staff, and everybody has someone on their list that has dropped.
I can't believe
all the lists. All the lists are different, but like you said, there's someone that every team is wondering, why is he still there? And they come back the next day, and there are vultures around the GM that had early picks. That's what really has me excited for next year. You know, we have ours, we have Anaheim's, and we have Columbus. So there's a good chance that at least one of them will be an early second pick.
First round pick.
And yeah, and you know, we might use it on a player just like we've talked about that we can't believe is dropped. But I know there's also going to be some interesting offers out there from different teams.
That's very interesting. You got some business done of late as well. You extend the contract of Eric Johnson 1 year, $1 million. You extend Bobby Brink, who was restricted. I think he was ARB eligible, free agent, 2 years at $3 million total, 1.5. And then you also extend the contract of Garnet Hathaway beyond next year, 2 more years. You still have one out there. You have Yegor Zamula still out there. Where are things?
We're very close. We were just talking to his representative yesterday. Again, earlier this morning, there's a meeting after this, actually, with his agent. So I think it's just a matter of time. I don't see a problem with Igor Zamula's contract. He'll be back most likely with us in September.
You have two guys that are also eligible for an extension. Obviously, one is Travis Konecny, which you've talked about and we've talked about. The other is Cam York. Could you see a situation with York where, you know, he's going into that bridge last year, that bridge deal at 1.6, kind of playing out like the way Owen Tippett's played out last year, where there could be an in-season extension or two different players, two different scenarios?
It's very possible. You know, every case is different, but it's very possible. You know, the step that Cam York took last year was huge for the future of our franchise. There's, you know, for a long time, a lot of people were questioning that pick, that Chuck Fletcher made with Cam York. But more and more, he's becoming a rock for us on defense, a solid player. So we hope to find a way to keep him here for the long term. But, you know, every case is different. Some players rather not talk, would rather wait till the end of the year. Some guys are willing and open to do it right away. So we'll as the summer goes on, we'll get a feel of kind of what works for both sides.
You mentioned Hunter McDonald. You know, he's a late round pick. Some guys, their development curve is sharper than others, and he seems to be a guy that is developing at a more rapid pace. Got 11 games last year with the Phantoms. He's obviously a big body.
Yeah.
and he's going to issue a lot of accountability on the ice. What have you seen out of, I know this isn't an evaluation camp, but what have you seen out of him?
Yeah, just watching him, he carries himself more, is much more comfortable. He's ready to play pro. Now, the plan for him is most likely to start in Lehigh Valley this year, but if he keeps improving at the pace he has been, I think we're going to see him before long on the roster. I don't know if it's this year. It could be. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we're very excited about him. 6'4", 230-pound defenseman. That's mean. Who actually welcomes the physicality of the game. He's not going to be fun to face, and that's what has me excited. He's what we see as a big piece of our future. I think he's going to be here for a long time. I'm excited because eventually he'll have the chance to play with Nick Seeler, who kind of plays a little bit like him. Having him around to learn from Nick too.
That's a torch handoff right there.
Yeah, and to protect him and to show him the ropes. I think we're fortunate to have Hunter in that silo, but to also have Nick kind of leading the way there in that department, because you need it. I look back at what Nick Deloria did and Garnet Hathaway did. Nick Seeler was part of that group. We talk about how well some of our young guys has developed. A part of the reason is how protected they were and never have to worry going out there that someone's going to take advantage of them, because nobody wanted to get into that type of game with the Flyers. They knew we had too much backup if they wanted to, start playing that hard game. So I believe it's important to have. I mean, the game has changed. It's not the Broad Street Bullies anymore, but you still need physicality and you need to be able to protect yourself for your young guys to develop.
And you need it in the playoffs big time. One thing we see, we don't seem to see it as much anymore, but the players that are going back to junior, they get a little taste of the NHL. You have that 10 games.
Yeah.
Is Bonk a guy that you could see maybe giving a taste to, because it can benefit him in, knowing what it feels like to play?
It's a possibility.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer of development and, pushing the limit on the other side, not trying to rush players.
Not microwave.
Correct. But at the same time, if he's ready to play a few games, we might be open to it. We'll see what it says, how he goes in training camp. And also it depends on, the players, because we have a lineup to fill. We have guys that are already signed. So we'll see. But he's definitely a big piece of our future. I know when we took him last year, we took some flack on him. But if there was a redraft today, I'm pretty sure Oliver Bonk would be pretty close to the top 10.
Well, people love goals, as you know. Gabe Perreault is there.
It's sexy, exactly. Yeah. It's sexy.
Right shot D. Is not
tough to find. Yeah. Exactly. Right shot D that defends extremely well. Yeah. Usually, it's not as sexy, but he's going to be a valuable piece of our future.
Last thing for you, going into next season, eyes wide open. What's your kind of, are you kind of ready to start pointing of excitement towards it? Or are you kind of still, and I have some business to take care of still. I need to get away. Then I'll turn that page to next season. It's about 92 days away.
Yeah, we're still pretty far. We're still 3 months away. We obviously start thinking about next season. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. I think, the expectations have elevated, rightfully so. Our guys played extremely well. But, I'm not so sure that we're going to take another big step like we did last year. Time will tell, but I try to be cautious in that department.
Right?
The players will determine that, but it's not, we're not going into the season saying we absolutely have to make the playoffs. This is, we're not trying to build a team to make the playoffs. We're trying to build a team that's going to become serious cup contenders for years to come. So it'd be great if we're still in that mix, and kind of like last year, we play some important games down the stretch. But I think it's a little too early to kind of have an idea or say that, this year is definitely the year that we're going to make the playoffs.
Do you like starting out with four road games on the West Coast?
I do.
Some of the fans kind of go, geez, four 10 o'clock games.
Yeah.
No buzz to start the season. I think it's a great thing.
I do.
There's no games in front of it.
Yeah.
Mitigates the damage.
I do for a couple reasons for me. I experienced it as a player. You go away to start the season. You're on the road. You get to know your teammates a little better. Now, there's not a big turnaround for our roster from the year before, but still, getting on the road, spending time with the guys, and getting rid of those West Coast swing or that one of the two West Coast swing that we're going to have, getting rid of one of them as the guys are still healthy, the guys are still fresh. I like that. I liked it as a player. And I'm glad we're doing that.
Well, if you don't like the cold, you're going to Edmonton and Calgary in October.
And a nicer part of
going, I remember seeing Smitty last year doing his stand up outside in Edmonton. He's still frozen. Danny, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the summer.
And thanks, Jason.
We'll talk soon.
You too. Bye-bye.